Nouvelle Vague could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
We're coming in hot.
Hi, Steve.
After that bizarre, I'm good, man. Really nice to see you.
We're just discussing how much that track has now been synced on TV programs and movies.
Yeah, and I think it's just so tempting, isn't it? Like we want to have let's soundtrack everything fall apart, or in the case of Triangle of Sadness, tilt our boat set and cover everyone with human shit.
Perfect, perfect, perfect.
It's what they thought about when they were writing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know it. You know it. Hey, so you're here to talk about movies, and that's a cool thing because I quite like movies.
Oh, well, we're off to a great start.
Yeah, totally. We're on the same page. What have you been watching, bro?
I had such a good time with this new film on Netflix called Rebel Ridge, and I'm far from the only one. It's the number one film on Netflix New Zealand at the moment.
Okay.
And it's a thriller kind of. Look, this might be up your alley. Actually, it's a thriller kind of cut from the Rambo First Blood kind of mold.
Oh.
It's that sort of old Western trope where, like, stranger rides into town,
yep,
bad cops mess with him.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, they're fucked with the wrong guy.
Oh, right.
And it's a really great entry in this kind of quite common tropey genre. What makes this tick so well is it's a film written and directed by and edited by a filmmaker called Jeremy Saulnier, who maybe, like, 7 or 8 years ago, I had a really incredible film called Green Room about a punk rock band.
Oh, yes, yeah, I remember that movie.
They play the wrong show.
Yep.
And
it all goes
horribly wrong.
Start
getting messed up by neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
And that film features some really unflinching kind of horror, like horror level sort of violence, or brutally real violence.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
And so Rebel Ridge is like, oh, this is going to be a goodie. And while it doesn't quite have the same maybe kind of gore factor, it's pulled back quite a lot. Doesn't shrink from being a superbly tense watch.
Awesome.
Don Johnson's the main bad cop. So
he's a good bad guy.
He's a great bad guy. And he's kind of threatening to deploy this shit-eating grin at sort of any stage throughout the film. But it's really mostly an arm wrestle between him and this, I guess, kind of newly minted action star Aaron Pierre in the role of Terry Richmond, who he stepped into this film because John Boyega exited mid-shoot.
Wow. Why?
And well, the internet's got lots of rumors, but the production apparently didn't know that he'd left the film until they found out he'd checked out of his hotel.
Oh, so he wasn't enjoying himself.
I guess not. And it's really hard to imagine this film with anyone else in the lead now, because this British thespian playing a black US former Marine has great screen presence, great charisma, and if you're going to be sparring verbally with Don Johnson throughout a film, you kind of need someone to anchor
that's
it that
super
way, right?
Super smart, yeah.
Yeah. So, look, the film kicks off with a black screen, and the first thing you hear is Iron Maiden, The Number of the Beast.
That's right up my alley.
Then you see that this dude is cycling with his earbuds in, and he's cranking it.
Wow.
Cop cars swerving all over the road behind him. He can't hear him.
Awesome.
They knock him off his bike, and within like a minute, this kind of film's off to a really nervy start. So you get your kind of ACAB, black civilian versus hick cop dynamic. Over-militarized small-town police dynamic. And you just kind of get an interesting take on this messed with the wrong guy style. Normally when you look at see what the time was or how much of a film's passed, it's for bad reasons, but I had this feeling like, oh, it feels like the film's maybe entering its third act now. I'm not ready for it to finish yet. I checked the time and I was like, whew, still had an hour to go.
Wow, awesome.
So structurally,
awesome.
It's got a little bit more sting in the tail from maybe where you might think it's going. It doesn't turn into kind of wish fulfillment of slaying lots of cops.
Oh yeah,
it's a little
which
bit
is
more
probably good.
It's a little bit more measured than that,
yeah.
And Saulnier is kind of keen to maybe make it a little bit unconventional in that way. Like, doesn't have a huge body count per se, but there's great action, super super tense, and I really really dug it.
Awesome, because I've actually seen it and gone, should I watch that? Because action movies, I don't know, I'm always a little bit iffy about it. You know, I think it's because Netflix have now got the rights to all those old Predator movies and Terminator, you know, 2 and stuff like that. And as a kid, I loved those movies, but trying to rewatch them, it's really, really hard because the dialogue's awful. And as soon as I see action, I sort of switch off, I think, you know.
Absolutely. And let's face it, not much stuff that comes direct to a streamer is
top-notch.
Incredible. Netflix don't have a great history in their own productions.
Yeah.
But this is definitely
a banger.
An outlier in that. And you know what? Like Terminator 2 is back on Netflix again as of relatively recently.
Yeah.
Man, it is always worth a rewatch.
Yeah, well, I tried, but I did because I loved it as a kid. But it just sounds like, it just looks like cutscenes from a PlayStation game to me now. They're really weird. Like some of the language so bad. You know, the dialogue's bad. But yeah, it's still a cool. Yeah, it's still cool. I suppose not for me though.
No, not for you. Whoa!
No, I'm not feeling
it. But hit up Rebel Ridge. This is fantastic.
Wicked.
And I was in your seat last week, so yep. I didn't do my own segment. I thought it'd be really weird to have a conversation with myself about movies. That's for my own time.
No, it's cool. Because I'm actually really interested.
But,
I mean,
but I would have mentioned otherwise that I've seen Beetlejuice, I went to see last week.
Okay, now give us the rundown.
Yeah, and you know, I guess like we'd sort of expect from Tim Burton, it's real wobbly.
Yeah.
Right, at this stage in his career, yeah. He's not really in kind of control of all his artistic impulses. But what was so fun about the sequel was that it just kind of lends into every idea is dialed up.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's campy, it's shot really interestingly, it's got heaps of practical effects.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it really even feels like, this is a weird thing to say, I'm not sure it feels like a film or necessarily even like a sequel to the style of the first film, but it just feels like we've got this this afterlife concept, we've got these characters to bring back, and he's got the ability to make a studio give him money to do trippy sets,
of course,
and awesome practical effects.
And
it's unrestrained creativity.
And was Winona good?
Yeah, Winona is good. It's great to see her do something meaty.
Yeah, good.
You know, and
yeah.
I think there's probably a little bit of baggage of trying to carry the thing, but she has a good time. Her performance is full of heart and humour.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and like I didn't expect to see stop motion in this film. I didn't expect to see just the kind of degree of OTT there is. It's much more than a Hot Topic store in a mall, which is, I guess, kind of, that's a reference no New Zealanders are going to get. But I was expecting it not to be great and had a really good time.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because, yeah, I just went, oh, is that just like a nostalgia thing? Or
and look, in some ways, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But Keaton's having a great time. They deploy him, like he's not in the first film that much.
Yeah.
And they deploy him similarly here. So it's not like, let's give everything you want right up front and kind of keep that at max volume. But recommend watching it in the kind of most receptive state you can be and on the biggest kind of screen you can.
Oh, wicked.
It's the visual creativity is the most interesting thing
awesome,
about it.
Oh, awesome. And any other movies?
Oh, gosh. Well, returning to cinemas this week, there are some sessions in Auckland for a couple of films from this year's New Zealand International Film Festival. There's a local horror called Grafted, which is kind of a... Let me not give it all away, but it's got some kind of good facial gore elements in let's say. And it's a story of a medical student who is experimenting with replacement skin technologies.
Intense.
With all the best intentions in the world, but of course it wouldn't be a horror film if that held sway. And also, with a kind of coming into the horror terrain, but from a very different angle, there's a possibly too kind of cutesy for me pick, but one that definitely had some fans at the film fest called Humanist Vampire Seeks Consenting Suicidal Person.
I saw the advert for that. It's French, no? French movie.
French-Canadian, yeah. So kind of twee, but if you know that going in and that's still kind of going to work for you, like it won't be...
Like she's a vampire from a family of vampires and she doesn't really like the idea of killing someone, eh?
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we can swap seats?
No, it's all good. No, I saw the trailer and went, maybe.
Yeah, it didn't quite click for me.
Yeah, okay.
But I know it did find its fans when it played at the film fest.
Yeah, cool.
So there's a few things to consider.
Right. Oh, that's cool, man. Right, because I'm new at this drive thing, I have no idea what happens now, Steve. So.
Cool. Well, I think let's just leave an awkward half a second of silence.
And then I should play
and
a song.
Let's rock on.
Yeah, should I play a song? Okay, cool. That sounds good to me. I'm going to play...
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.